powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Revelation chapter 18, verse 7. We will resume with verse 7. Again, this is your opportunity to check yourself. As I've said before many times, generic rebound works. It's in the model prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If God forgives us of our sins, boom, 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 and who are we to hold a grudge and not forgive another believer of something? You do not want to go there. If you're there, rebound it and do not hold against a believer any offense that they might have put on you by simply not communicating with them, not treating them in a kind and Christian fashion. So an early exhortation for our class, so that you can always examine yourself and be sure that you are not guilty of not forgiving. God forgives all the time, or we'd be sunk. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have this opportunity to be spiritually informed and refreshed in these very, very corrupt times in the last days. Bless this class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. All right. To set the context again, because you can get lost here if you're not paying attention. In the vision to John, he heard a voice from heaven. Now, this voice from heaven wasn't just confined to heaven. It is broadcast to the human race. It has to be, or it wouldn't serve a purpose. And the very thing that is broadcast to the human race has been recorded in our Bible since John the Apostle wrote these things down. But the human race, with special emphasis on Americans, will hear this information. It starts in verse 4, as I told you. I heard another voice from heaven saying, another of the same kind. In the preceding, the voice from heaven was an angel that lit up the whole earth, that will light up the whole earth and make an announcement of the doom of the United States. Then the voice of God from heaven will come down to the earth. In verse 4, I heard another voice, another of the same kind. We know it's God because it says, come out of her, my people. That is not what an angel would say. We are not his people. We're associated with angels, but we are not his people. We are a distinct race. So that you will not participate in her sins. It's an interesting way of phrasing this. American history has built up this catalog of sins from our very beginning to the current time and on to the end. In other words, the sins will be broken down in different ways. Each of us, as believers, have contributed to this in one way or another, whether we know it or not. God judges a nation just like he does an individual. And since there's been no periods in American history that I am aware of where there was a complete turnaround and a turn away from this path that we were headed down. And of course, we are much worse today than we were 50 years ago. Oh yeah. And 50 years ago, we were not in a good place. We were heading down this path Now, the believers are told after the rapture, believers will come to salvation, a bunch of them pretty quick, including Americans, participating in her sins. Now look at it this way. A nation is like an individual. It goes along and along and commits these sins, and finally, the hammer drops. It eventually, as the old expression is, the chickens come home to roost. And you know what they do when they roost. They mess the place up. I know, we had a chicken barn on the ranch. We had to clean it up all the time. Anyway, the angel goes on to say that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. You can sidestep this. He's telling American citizens, in particular his people, that you can sidestep the final participation, which isn't going to say the least, enjoyable. The sins leading up to it were enjoyable. But the end result will not be enjoyable for Americans that are here. I want you to see this. And then we use the analogy is to an invisible tower. The visible tower, the Tower of Babel. It's interesting that he would use this, God will use this particular analogy. For her sins have piled as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. God keeps her log, keeps her record. That's why, as I say, you as a believer will sin in phase two. But you need to keep breaking that with rebound. Yeah, preferably you don't sin, but you're going to. Let's get real. Known and unknown. The difference is believers never do not use 1 John 1:9. Who are they? They're wallowing under their sin natures and not breaking and getting back and being filled with the Spirit. So that, here's another analogy or another example. When a person comes to salvation, I don't care how awful of a person they were, and there's some really bad people that have come to salvation. I mean really corrupt people. In any case, a person's sins from youth all the way to that point are forgiven. They're not going to be hit for something they did 5 years ago, no matter how bad it was. When you're saved, you're forgiven of your sins in the temporal realm. And that way, the salvation adjustment acts like rebound in that all the preceding is forgiven. Got a clean slate. Then you start off as a Christian. And ideally, but most don't, they start off learning the rebound technique. It is absolutely, totally essential to a normal Christian life that you focus on using 1 John 1:9 through the day and before you go to bed and when you get up and blah, blah, blah. Verse 6, pay her back even as she is paid. She has done some bad things that have hurt people worldwide and among her own population. Give back to her double according to her deeds. And we established that this is the principle that to whom much is given, much is required. And this country has been blessed. We have been blessed by God. And yet, what have we done with it? Corporately. We haven't honored and glorified Him accordingly. Look at it today from all the different aspects that you can look at American life. from the rulers down to the people in the street, all of it, celebrities and the things that are being promoted today that weren't in my youth, as okay, A-okay behavior. In the cup which she has mixed, this is her false concepts. You could name a bunch of stuff, couldn't you? Religion, fake science, all the kind of things she's mixed in her cup. And the entertainment world, the all of it. She is mixed in her cup. Both of the women, both of the one with the religious Babylon in here, use the analogy of a cup, which she has mixed twice as much for her. So there's your double discipline. Now on to verse 7. Further instructions to the destroyers. To the degree that she has glorified herself, the destroyers of America, God, as we know from our established in the scripture, that he will use an outside country, Russia, to take us down. An unrighteous, corrupt country too. But in any case, he's going to use that country. To the degree that she has glorified herself and lived sensuously. To the degree, the pronoun, hosas, as much as, she has glorified herself, aorist indicative, doxazo, herself, and lived sensuously. To live sensuously, straniao, means to indulge oneself in something. Go overboard in it. Not do it in moderation. Indulgence. So a self-indulgent lifestyle is what we're looking at here. And boy, is that ever true, right down to the average American. Self-indulgence. The word moderation isn't in the vocabulary. Whether it's food, whether it's entertainment, whether it's travel, and all the rest of it. The acquisition of materialistic things. So this is corporate America, living sensuously. Not taking these things in the proper way, but just throwing themselves into it. Look at your average time with Christmas. Well, this was with the 4th of July too. People spending thousands of dollars on fireworks. Thousands. Even people that don't have the money they find a way because they got this plastic thing called a credit card. God is against that. He is against this kind of indulgence. An excess. Now, any one of us may have in our lives in certain times, and I'm sure we have, been guilty of that. But we use rebound, come to Bible class, so that we can tone it down and put it in perspective. I think about it too because I get a lot of emails about food, the purchase of it, preparing recipes, and these gurus that are just caught up in this. And who doesn't like food? Well-prepared food. But again, it is just overboard. You know? And food, no matter how good it is, well-prepared, enjoyable, does not commend you to God. Spiritual food, that's another matter. So all these programs on TV and elsewhere pushing, you know, different cuisines, different people become celebrities. Yeah, I get the emails, see them. Throwing all these recipes at you. To the degree that, to the same degree, give her torment and mourning. To the same degree, that is a demonstrative pronoun, tos utas, so much, to the degree that, give, didymi, aorist imperative. Who's being ordered to give this? To carry out the imperative. The unnamed enemy that will destroy America, unnamed in chapter 18. You got to go elsewhere to do your investigation to figure out who the hammer is God is going to use to bring America down. That's in the doctrine of the U.S. and prophecy. We've known this for years. It's a power out of the farthest horizons, in the north. And the only country I know of that's capable of that is modern Russia. They sure weren't 20 years ago, but they have come a long way in their thermonuclear technology. Way advanced. These weapons that Russia has that will be unleashed on the cities of America are God's weapons. He owns everything. He calls it I think it's in Jeremiah, he calls it, open my armory and bring out my weapons of mass destruction. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning, along with her indulgence, is her arrogance. For she says in her heart, this is the corporate America viewpoint. This is that's what they think. It's not everybody, but it's the corporate norm and standard out there. I sit as a queen. For she says in her heart, her innermost thought, her heart, and then we have haughty acting as a quotation mark, I sit. Present indicative of Kathemi, I sit as a queen, Basilisa, and I am not a widow, and I am not negative, Kreos, widow, and will never see mourning, and not negative. I will not see mourning, penthos, sorrow or mourning. And I will never is a double negative with the word to see. All right, point one. God is the speaker, continuing here. And he continues his directive to Babylon's destroyers. Notice, he has spoken to the American population, in particular to his children, believers, to get out of here. Now, he addresses this hidden enemy. God is speakers, and he continues his directive to Babylon's destroyers. Here, God furnishes a reason why Babylon must be destroyed. America has glorified herself and has become wanton. To the degree, quote, she has glorified herself and lived wantonly, so to that degree she is to suffer physical and soulish anguish under the fifth cycle of discipline. The fifth cycle is the fifth cycle like in Israel, all 1 through 4, and if they didn't repent at some point in that, God would lower the hammer, which he did, with the northern and southern kingdoms, and then again the second commonwealth. He dropped the fifth cycle on them. Torment or torture is the physical sufferings of post-rapture Americans, while mourning refers to their mental anguish and torture as they go through this. There will be people who live long enough to see their country destroyed before their eyes, before they die. All the self-congratulations and excessive living Americans have experienced will find its counterpart in that final day of her history. You can see now, can't you, why Bible-believing Christians out there called evangelicals won't touch this. They won't come near it. They may bemoan things going on in America and things, but they will not touch this prophetic information. It's a glaring example for me of lukewarm Christianity. We'll pick and choose what we're going to teach and not teach. I wonder what these big evangelicals that are out over there in Israel. That one guy, it's the ambassador from the United States, who was a preacher and a governor. You know. America's corporate mindset is that of extreme pride and arrogance. We all know that some people, when they prosper materially, they become very arrogant and prideful. Not humble, but prideful and arrogant about it. They imagine that they're better than other people because they've got millions in the bank. They aren't. They'll go to the same place as the poorest person if they don't get saved and so forth. So our country is a country of pride, extreme pride, and pride always leads to a fall. It was the original first sin committed by a creature. Pride of appearance. Lucifer. He looked in the mirror one time too many. And a mental attitude sin of pride shot up there. He didn't say, "Yeah, I'm glorious, but God made me that way. I can't take credit for it. That's how he created me. It doesn't make me better than these other angels." He didn't do that. I don't know how long he was, as we measure time, I don't know how long he was on the good side of things before he committed the original sin. If someone asked you, what was the very first sin ever committed? It'd be pride. In particular, pride of appearance. People are proud of their intellect, proud of their heritage, and so forth. And not humble. Americans aren't. They're prideful. They take the credit. Not all of them, but enough of them to make this the way it is. At the time of her destruction, God reads the corporate soul, heart, and it mounts to extreme arrogance as seen in the quotation from Isaiah 47:8. Another Old Testament chapter dealing with the United States. You'll be hard-pressed to find any other prophetic subject in Scripture that has as many verses devoted to it than the United States. I could be wrong about that. But you've got these big chapters like Jeremiah 50 and 51, and then these chapters in Isaiah 13, this one. And this quote reads, "Now then, hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely," false sense of security, "who says in your heart, I am, and there's no one besides me. I'm special. I will not sit as a widow. Nor shall I know the loss of citizens, children." The overthrow of prophetic and economic Babylon is presented in Isaiah 47:1-15 from the vantage point of a debutante, a princess, who feels secure in her privileged status. She feels secure in her privileged status, only to find herself, and in that line, a POW. And an enemy comes into the country, and she becomes a prisoner of war. And she's drug off into anonymity. No one remembers her. She's gone. They don't look at her and go, "Ooh, you look good. Whoa." No, they strip her of her finery. And she has to walk into captivity and gets no respect. People kowtowed to her and everything when she was in her niche. It's over. Isaiah 47 is not prophetic of the overthrow of ancient Babylon, of course. But the language fits other descriptions of political Babylon, such as Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 50 and 51. God revealed this information way back then. This end time nation. I mean, he's dealing with the end times, so he's got to reveal the entities, the players. From the Antichrist, all the rest of them. And so America, that wasn't even a thought in anybody's mind. This continent had native tribes. Later on down the line, they had explorers come in here from Spain and elsewhere. So it was a long time in coming before this country was even in place as a nation. And then it grew up to this status that I'm trying to describe here for you. These chapters and others deal with an entity that in no way matches the manner in which Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon exited the historical limelight, Daniel 6. Yet this economic and political entity, during her heyday, sits at the apex of the political economic heap. I recently saw on YouTube, it's not real recent, but back, Neil Diamond's song. He's Jewish, you know. Brenda told me he was a cantor in a Jewish synagogue. Neil Diamond. And he was singing to an audience, I think it was in New York, "Coming to America." And these people are all like this. And then they'd show pictures of different things in America. Of course, they showed the Statue of Liberty. Of course, they showed these early immigrants coming in and all the other finery and stuff. While he did a good presentation of it in his older age. Coming to America. She'll be brought down low. As she exalted herself to that degree, she'll be brought down low. And by low, I mean really low. Lower than you might imagine unless you've been listening. Not just destroying the nation and killing off the population, but preventing, as a testimony, anybody to ever occupy this landmass again. And they have 1,000 years. Except the animal kingdom will explode. And the animals will live in the ruins. I saw pictures of the fireworks display in Washington, D.C. Very impressive. All this shooting up in the air. I couldn't even put a price tag on it. And we ought to be humbling ourselves before God and begging for mercy and turning away from our sins. But no, we have the president and all these other people telling how great we are. And misrepresenting our history. There's so much we need to repent of. The Assyrians did it. It says in the book of Jonah, from the highest king on down to the lowest person in the nation, they turned to Yahweh, the God of Jonah, and turned away and renounced the evil that they had become. I'm just praying that a miracle turn around. Well, you're wasting your time. All I pray for is that we have law and order enough so we can come to Bible class and hold our jobs down. That's what I pray for. So we here in Oklahoma City, yeah, it's not selfish. It's just I don't want a bunch of turmoil. There are other states and things at times and cities. The turmoil is unbelievable. Man, I've read about some of these things. Fireworks events and teenagers pulling out guns and shooting people. Yeah, you get online and watch these games where you're encouraged to kill one another. And these impressionable, stupid minds of teenagers, like a sport. No, even if I was physically up to it, I'm not going out for crowds. Be it sports or any other kind of entertainment. I don't know, the last thing I think I went and listened to a jazz singer in Tulsa. That was it. Sade. I lost my interest in her when I found out that she had dropped out of singing and then she did an album and dedicated it to her transsexual son. And she sings all these love songs about man and woman. And you're proud that you have a transsexual son? Somebody that lives a living lie, walks around and says he's a girl, a female? Sick. You don't call a dog a cat. You don't call a man a woman. Unless you're corrupt. The genetics tell you what they are. So there's a big portion of the population that have bought into that, including churches. Including churches. Churches either will promote it or they will not mention it. I'll bet if I was teaching in a big fundamentalist church and condemned this mess, it would hit a lot of their members. People that attend. Their sons and their daughters. And even some stupid parents that encourage it. From practically the cradle. It's criminal. It's child abuse. By any other definition. Well, I'm a lone voice. I hope there's others out there, but they're very few and very far between. Yet this economic political during her heyday sits at the apex of the political economic heap. There's no question about that. You can't name a country that's gone up this high with regard to the manufacturing, commercialism, however word you want to use. Isaiah 47:5b, for you will no longer be called the Queen of Kingdoms. And compare Jeremiah 51:25. Behold, I'm against you, O destroying mountain. Much of our history and political activity has led to unnecessary destruction of others. But hey, beat yourself on the chest, wave your American flag, and rah, 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 rah. I was in a church that promoted patriotism like mad and the military. They even got military guys that had any kind of medals or something got to get up and speak. I got embarrassed once in that church. Behind the pastor was an empty choir. He canned it fine. And one Sunday, it was a Sunday, there was so many in the church, a lot of them in uniform, And so when me and Brenda got here, we had to sit back there. It was all the seats were filled. And he gets up there and says, I want the military up here behind me. You other people get down. And as I'm walking down the steps, this military, one of them popped off. Oh, you civilians never know your place. More arrogance just because you have a damn uniform on. You're a jerk by any definition. Pride. There you are. Pride. So it took me, once I got my own church, it took me a while to, I'm not telling the young men in my church to go join up. I'm not going to tell them to leave face-to-face teaching. There wasn't a draft, so there wasn't a need. And you'll notice in the New Testament, Paul or the rest of them aren't telling believers to join the Roman army. The only ones he addressed was slaves. If you have a chance to get your freedom, take it. And let God work it out. So you can, somebody can purchase you and get you free of that, of being a slave to some master on a plantation. But there isn't anything about join up. It becomes a part of a religious idea in churches. I'm all for true patriotism. Oh, destroying mountain, who destroys the whole earth, declares the Lord, and I'll stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags and make you a burnt out mountain. You know, as I've said, mountains are used in Scripture for big kingdoms, hills for littler nations, smaller nations. The scrutinizer of motives, that's God. Hey, he knows your innermost motives. The scrutinizer of motives has detected a self-centeredness that is tantamount to self-deification. Love of self. The wrong kind of love of self. Not love of God, love of self. And it manifests itself in a lot of different ways with people. Some real antinomian behavior. I see him out here. Who put that jerk on a motorcycle? Look at him. Jumping in and out of traffic. He's going to make one false move. Get smeared all over the pavement. And he's got this little rinky-dink thing. He's just going... pitiful. You think a person's better than a person because he has a hot rod, fast car? If you follow the law, what good's it going to do you on the street? You can pass the guy up there. I see him coming all the way up from behind me, so we can both stop at the same light. Meditations of the heart are open to him. So he knows America's soul heart is one of self-glorification and pride. We as Americans think too highly of ourselves. And we think that God thinks judges just like we do. That's one of the fallacies. God thinks like I do, blah, blah, blah. If you think about God at all. We suffer a messianic complex. We are the elite and special nation of all time. And of course we aren't. That is Israel. In spite of all their downs, they're coming roaring back. With the real estate, with a beautiful land, and good citizenry, unlike they'd ever had in their history before, even where they had bright spots. Speaking to Babylon's tormentors, God instructs them to inflict torment and mourning. To the degree America the Great has reveled in self-glorification and luxury. So here we see the principle of matching the punishment with a crime. We just think bad countries are those that are like Iran, slaughtering its people with this god-awful religion they have. And it's bad. It really is bad. It's horrible. But I wonder how much we've helped them in our history. From the fall of the Shah, the king, and he was far from perfect. But compared to these guys running it now, they're a murderous bunch of thugs and killers in the name of some kind of the name of Allah. Imagine living in a place like that. They have wrecked much of the economy and the beauty of the country. I speak to a person who is an American who is an ex-Persian who lived the good life over there. And you had nothing to fear unless you became a political activist of some sort. Then you could wind up in the Shah's prison. But if you just went about your business and made a living and did this, the streets were clean, the people were clean, women weren't abused unbelievably with that religion. I saw one of them that did a performance without that headgear on. She got 71 lashes, a young woman. I wonder how much we facilitated in our CIA and being involved over there with playing the oil game. So we've been in bed with a lot of bad rulers. We really have. How about Joseph Stalin? That you would give him the time of day. And now to inform the American people that he is a criminal. And we're not going to give him any kind of economic support. And we're going to pray for the Russian people. Because it's an artificial system that needs money pumped into it from the outside to keep it going. And that's what we did. It was called Lend-Lease. I've read, during the height of it, our businessmen were over there in their hotels jam-packed making deals. Prospering off of this bloody regime that murdered millions of its own people. More than, some say, there's a term for when nations kill their own people. Democide. I think that's correct. If I'm wrong, forgive me. That more people have died in modern times from their own governments than from wars. And the U.S. is involved up to our ears. We're not standing back and condemning it. And we might give some rhetoric, but for the almighty dollar, did these things. And then there's others have other motives. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.